Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Captain Earth Mini Talk, episode 6 this time. The Kivartos plan, and joining me this time is Jero again.
Hello, Fosh.
Hey, what's up? So, yeah, this episode kind of, it was supposed to be the Daichi Hana episode, technically, but actually, it's more about, Mocha and Amara and what everything's going on, kind of the plot of the series, I think you would call it.
Yeah, it was a pretty plot-heavy episode as we sort of see more from Hana and Daichi, and on the other side with the Kilt Gang, and there's so many parts going on in this episode, and there's a lot of terminology to sort of catch.
Right, definitely there are, and it all starts with the CEO of Macbeth, I guess. They finally revealed his name. They probably did earlier, but I didn't see it. But his name's Cube, and he basically chats with Mocha and Amara, and kind of calls them his children. It's kind of creepy, I thought.
Yeah, kind of makes him seem like he's some mastermind in this.
Yeah, and he's more interested in the machine Goodfellow trials, not really knowing that they've been doing that since day one. So it's like, yeah, but this side's not, they're not really telling the truth, and for good reason, because they have their plans. Even things like Puck, he's, I've had my suspicions of him since I've seen him. And yeah.
I thought there was one thing with Puck that was really funny. It's kind of a thing that you typically see in anime where they're describing the level of security that they have, and they're saying, "Oh man, nobody else could talk to Puck but me." Next thing you see, Mocha's deactivating all the security, and they're going in and just having a friendly chat with it.
Yeah, and they're kind of, there's a lot of plot revealed in that Puck tells Cube a different story, that hey, once this plan goes through, Earth will be left to you and the Kilt Gang will leave. That's what he told them. But Amara and their plan is different, that they're gonna basically destroy Earth when they're done. And so it's kind of funny seeing these people, like, they're just sneaky. There's so much sneakiness behind all these characters.
Yeah, and there are so many factions and so many motivations that things are looking like at some point they could really blow up. And
Right.
there's so many contrasting opinions amongst people in the same organization,
Yeah, there's gonna be
both
a lot
on,
of backstabbing
yeah,
coming out.
sort of on both sides.
Right, and we also learn more about the Kilt Gang themselves, actually. Basically, I think Puck just tells Cube that they're space vampires, basically, and they're just going to feed off energy, not knowing that, their whole plan is to, like, take over the Earth and, all that.
What
And,
is this, Valvrave?
yeah, pretty much.
Vampires.
That's what I was calling it. I was like, it's probably space vampires.
Yeah.
And everybody at Earth, at Globe and all of them refer to them as, I guess, planetary gears, which I guess is what their true name is. It's kind of weird. And we learn more about them, that their bodies are made out of these ego blocks that basically comprise their body. And basically, I guess, even Tepe goes deeper. It's calling him a digitized soul. So I'm like, that kind of explains Puck, if he's technically a quote-unquote computer, if he's just maybe a Kilt Gang soul just trapped in a machine.
Oh, yeah, that would be really interesting, yeah.
And he's just, like, acting like a computer to keep Cube in the dark. So kind of funny seeing that.
I
He
kind
may
of,
be actually real.
I actually like that about this, is that it's the AI, there's actually something to it instead of it's just AI.
Right. It's like kind of two-faced. For Cube, it's just a computer. He's like, oh, you're Earth's powerful AI, and not knowing it's probably an alien that's faking it, And then we get more with Hana. I mean, Hana's body, I guess she reveals that she doesn't have any ego blocks in her body, so that tells me she's part of a different species altogether, maybe a different alien.
Yeah, she really is sort of the mystery of the show right now.
Right, yeah.
With like, what is she? Who created her? What's her purpose?
Yep, that's true. And we get all that. That's kind of like majority of, like, the kind of, I guess, evil side of the story, of all the backstabbing, what their real plan is. And with the Globe, on the other hand, they're kind of, stuck in between two different groups, that one wants to destroy the Kilt Gang, the other one wants to have this plan go through, and the Globe doesn't want any of it to work, because we learned that the Kivar's plan is actually, it's about selecting, I guess, special people and only those people get to survive while Earth is basically evacuated. And that spells disaster for like both sides. Because Globe, on the other hand, doesn't want that to happen because they know if that happens, then the Kill Gang are going to destroy Earth. So, and they got to keep it that secret from everybody. And even, like, I think I mentioned off air that Akari kind of snoops around, and her dad warns her, if you get any deeper in that, I'm going to arrest you. It's like, wow, that's something that I guess very important.
Oh, yeah.
And almost one of those, like, you're going to discover the truth, and maybe you're not going to really like working for Globe. And then we get with something with Hana and Daichi. I mean, this was about them, technically. And I guess the cliche thing, Hana reveals that Daichi was the light in her darkness, and he brought her out from that world. And she came to Earth because she heard a voice and wanted to meet that person. Kind of almost, I don't know, it kind of felt kind of cheesy, but it is, it's fine.
Yeah, it kind of was for, you know, barely knowing each other.
Yeah.
I guess the tie is deep because we saw what happened in the past when they were younger, and they've been through these experiences together. But it's a part of the show really displaying what the pairings are in this series, and that there's no doubt that it's to be Hana and Daichi and Tepe and Akari.
Right, definitely. I mean, they are showing that each character kind of helps the other character out as far as like emotion and dealing with things. And with Hana, she's really lacking emotion, but she'll get there eventually. But we also have Daichi's, I guess, guardian. He arrives to take him back, and he kind of just stumbles upon like this conspiracy. It's like, what the hell's going on? He almost gets shot. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it seems like there's a whole thing with Daichi throughout the episode trying to talk to his uncle
Right.
about some stuff that's going on and why he's reporting to him as commander, sort of like an underage thing.
Right, and he's confused about all that too. And
Yeah.
like I said, he almost gets shot. It's like, oh my God. And he
Yeah.
sees Daichi summon his gun and save the day but he's boomerang instead, but he did see a lot of things, and he kind of tells the commander guy that I won't say anything, and I realize that this is something he asked him, is this something Daichi only he can do? And the commander's like, yeah, something only he can do. Kind of that, you know, shonen anime thing where it's the hero, he's the chosen one.
Yeah. Yeah,
We
he hasn't had
can't do
much
without him.
hardship so far.
Right, yeah. He hasn't really experienced that much, but I'm expecting we'll see that later on.
Yeah. But it's good, like, they showed him training in this episode, which I thought was pretty cool. Because how many times have we talked about mecha series? Oh, the guy just jumped in and he knew how to push buttons.
Right.
Like, here he's learning, and it looks like seeing previews that there's going to be some mecha action next week after last episode off and this episode off. But in the meantime, you know, he's practicing for when duty calls.
Yeah, it reminds me of Robot Notes when he had actually trained, and you know, he's
Exactly.
taking it like as a game in terms of training. I mean, he doesn't really, I don't think he knows that it's life or death right now, but I mean, it has to be in the back of his mind somewhere that he knows it's not all fun and games. And like I said, with the Globe, they're stuck between the Arc faction and the other, I guess I forgot what they called them, but it's another faction that wants to destroy the Kill Gang. So Globe doesn't really know which side to side with, really. Especially the commander, because he's almost like he's going behind HQ's back every episode. You notice, keep noticing that's a common theme. It's like, does HQ even care what these people do? I mean, really? Their
Yeah, it doesn't.
investigation unit must suck.
Yeah.
They're just terrible. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, you know, we talked about it with sort of the opposite side with the Kill Gang, where here, like, it's very political, like, with, you know, you can kind of look at Democrats and Republicans not being able to sort of decide on what the right things should be and what laws should pass, et cetera. Here it seems
Right.
like they kind of have good intentions, but everybody's going about it a way that's pretty different.
Right. The logic thing is like you want to defend Earth, so the Kivara's plan shouldn't work. So, but at the same time, if they don't do it, And it's just like you said, either way, whether they side with, no one's gonna be happy. I think that's what it's gonna be like.
Yeah.
And at the end, the big plot reveal is the commander revealing this picture of the moon, and we see it in the opening, I think, a few times or recently. But there's a big crystal shoved into the dark side of the moon, and basically, it's I guess an energy source. And I guess he was showing that's what's gonna happen to Earth if the Kefauver's plan goes through. And they're probably basically destroyed. And it's kind of funny how he doesn't really like work up to it. He just shows him like, bam, like, oh my God, he could
That
have been more subtle,
is quite a secret to keep
right?
away. I mean,
And
it's huge.
yeah, and luckily it's on the other side of the moon, so no one's gonna see it. So I mean, good job there.
Yeah.
And I guess the crystal, when it hit the moon, it killed everyone there, feeding off their energy.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing if they did the Earth, it's one swift move without, it's gonna happen real fast.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I guess, the last part of the episode. But some extra stuff, we had a jealous secretary who gets mad at Q for not inviting her to dinner.
Yeah.
And clearly, like Puck has been saying, she kind of has a thing for him, and he almost doesn't really show that he's a thing for her. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
And then at the end, he's like, "You want to go out to dinner?" And
Right.
then I think she asks, like, "Is that a pity response or something?"
Right,
No.
yep, that's true.
And then I think they just cut away after that.
Yeah, he did. And then Akari kind of eavesdropping on her dad in front of her mom, saying, "You hit on Rita." I was like, wow, this daughter is like
She's
throwing him under
trouble.
the bus. And the other thing I mentioned was like the awesome use of black and white during Hana's, like, I guess, brief flashback talking about where she comes from. It felt like I was like reading a manga. It was really cool looking.
Yeah, that was a good design choice. I agree.
Yeah, because you see all the robots fighting and how she arrives on Earth, and it's kind of weird that she's like in this like big spike looking ship. I don't know if they're ever gonna show it, but it was kind of weird looking. Or if that is her true form, or if that's the thing that hit the moon. I think that's what that is.
Yeah,
So
very well
maybe
could
Hana
be.
is from that crystal, I'm thinking.
Huh, yeah. I
And
like that.
yeah, it could make sense. I mean, like, she did arrive on Earth, and she was a little kid at the time. But and like we mentioned earlier, Hana Daichi, that pairing is it's okay. It's not the best, but realistically, who else would you throw them together with? I mean, you couldn't do a Akari Hana Yuri ship. It just that doesn't work for me. I don't
Yeah, it's wait, Akari
Yeah, I mean, like a Yuri ship. I mean, they have a thing between them, but they're more of like just childhood friends type of thing going through them.
Yeah, I support that.
Yeah.
We thought that, at least I thought that in the early episodes, because they were going to be living in a house together, that we'd see them together a little more, but they really sort of split off into their own pairings the past few weeks. It's a decent pairing. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It just from what we've seen from the very beginning, that's what ties them together. And Daichi is a good enough of a lead character that he's not messing things up, and he's not saying anything that would make Hana uncomfortable or making her kind of run off or anything. And it kind of helps that Hana's not exactly the most, expressive of her personality. The character that she is, she just kind of takes it all in and just kind of takes it in stride as best she can.
Right, yeah, and that, like you said, and with Daichi, he's not overbearing, he's not annoying, he does not like a typical mecha lead where he's angsty and angry at the world.
Yeah.
Daichi right now is just he's kind of just being himself, and I like that. And
Is cool. It's not
yeah.
like, we talk about pairings, but there's nothing that those characters are feeling for each other.
Right, yeah, I mean, right now it's just basically for a viewer standpoint, for the like. The audience, we can look at all these pairings, but for like in series, in canon and stuff, they're probably not gonna go that route right now because they are technically still little kids. I mean, they probably won't be doing the whole "I love you" thing till episode 12, 13, maybe near the end. So we'll see.
You mean 25 or so?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, and I don't see him doing anything too deep, but like I said, I think this episode is more of a plot dump. It tells you about
It
the whole
is.
story, who's going to be portraying who eventually, and if Cube will find out the truth about Puck and all this, and what the commander do, with being stuck in the middle of the Kuvara's plan and Park faction, all these people. So.
Yeah, it for people that have stuck around long enough, and I don't see much of any reason to have dropped a show. I think this is the kind of episode that people were looking for, as far as answers to some early questions that had been posed, getting to know more about both sides and the turmoil that currently exists, and on the side of Earth and the side of the Kill Gang.
Right, yeah. Anything else to add?
No, other than just a solid episode. Looking
Yep, same
forward to
here.
those mech fights next
Oh yeah,
week.
next week it's like a double fight. I think
Yeah.
Amara and Mocha are fighting, Tepe and Daichi next time. So maybe a little tag team going on next week.
Yeah.
I know there's more people like them to be revealed for the Kilt Gang, so I'm waiting to see them
Yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
And
there
it's
would
like,
be.
how will Daichi fight? I think there's four or five of them for the enemy team. So like, how will they fight five people at once? So maybe we'll see some extra mechs being thrown in for like, Akari to move to Palette or Hana.
Yeah. It's if they had some kind of mobile dolls, is the term that I kind of think of,
Right.
drone-like that Akari could control remotely, that
Right,
would be
yeah,
pretty
that'd
good.
be pretty good. Because she has proved she can hack satellite with all the missiles, and she can use
Yeah.
that as a weapon. And I'm kind of have my fingers crossed to not go the Voltron route. I mean, I don't want all four of these kids to be in different parts of a robot and they form one robot. If they do it, that's fine. I mean, that's for mecha factor, but yeah, we'll see.
And it would just be the color of the rainbow.
Right, yeah, hopefully
Yeah.
not. But anyway, that's been the episode. See you guys next week for more Captain Earth.